You're not making up for George Floyd's murder if you're muddying the water with Puerto Ricans. Coming up on the Anti-Woke Podcast. I was talking to a friend recently, and we were talking about the new Kraven the Hunter movie. And if you don't know, Kraven the Hunter, he's probably Spider-Man's, I don't know, number seven villain. They made so many Spider-Man villains that, whatever, he's one of the ones who hasn't been in a movie, and now he's getting his own movie, just like Venom did. Let me see if I can name, you know, six villains better than him. It's, number one is Green Goblin, two is Dr. Octopus, the Lizard, the Rhino, the Vulture, and later on, yeah, those all come from maybe, like, there's a real short period where all those things are created. Like, you know, that's like, it's like Spider-Man 2, 3, 4, 9, and 11, or 14, and they all came out, and that's all right in about 62, I think, 63. And then later on, the Punisher was originally just a Spider-Man villain, and then Venom and Carnage are whatever. Venom has had two movies, and I think Carnage was in the second one. And they're all white men. Okay, that makes me think of another one. Electro, who was played by Jamie Foxx in a somewhat recent movie. But anyways, Kraven the Hunter, he was like a Russian big game hunter, I think, you know, originally. And he was so good at, you know, he's the world's greatest hunter. And he hunted all the beasts of the world, like, you know, lions and elephants and blah, blah. And I think the story was he got tired of it. So he was going to hunt the strongest human being in the world. And that was Spider-Man. I think that was his origin story. And so I'll say, I think, you know, I'm a little on the spectrum. More so when I was a kid. Like nowadays I can drink some alcohol and boom, it cures my spectrum problems. But I did this weird thing when I was a kid. I don't know, this is, might have been first grade. It was first grade or third grade. But Kraven the Hunter's costume was a bunch of animal pelts. So I think he wore, you know, he's a giant muscular man. And I think he wore a vest. I think it was basically a lion skin with maybe the two eyes on each pectoral or something. And then his skin-tight pants were maybe jaguar or something. Yeah, and his collar was the lion's mane. Anyways, he had a couple other, I don't know, he had maybe like 3 to 5 animals covering him. And it was all very obvious, you know, what kind of animal that came. He might have had some zebra in there. But let's just say first grade because that makes it sound better. So in first grade at my school, and I went to first grade twice. I was a very young first grader the first time around. They've since changed the law, and I wouldn't have been able to get in, you know, if you're born on a certain date. But anyways, my first time through first grade, I used to walk along the chain link fence at recess, and I think I would drag my hand along the chain link fence, and I would imagine which animal I would put where on my, you know, if I had a Kraven the Hunter costume, where would I put that animal? Like, oh, you know, I put the zebra on top, you know, maybe even talking out loud to myself. Like, I'll put the zebra on top and the lion on the bottom, or I'll, you know what, I'll do a tiger on the, I think maybe he wears underwear over his pants. It's like, maybe, you know, maybe I'll have shorts that are tiger skin, legs that are zebra skin, a shark, who knows. Anyways, that didn't go on forever. I made some friends and I stopped doing that. But I do remember doing that. It's definitely a vivid childhood memory. But anyways, they're making a movie with Aaron Taylor Johnson, I believe, if you know that guy. He was in Bullet Train, Godzilla. The rumor is that he's going to be an animal rights activist. He's going to be woke. And that's like, whatever, I don't care. I was a big Spider-Man comic reader in like 1989. But I think the last Spider-Man movie that I watched fully was Spider-Man 3 from whatever that was, 2006. But there's another rumor that I found more interesting. And so, like, they got these Venom movies, if you heard of them, and I think there's no Spider-Man in there. But, you know, it's a Spider-Man villain, and he's got his own movies. And so they're talking about bringing back, I think, Tobey Maguire, the original. You know, there's been 3 Spider-Mans. The original Spider-Man. Can then the old Spider-Man can fight like an old man, Tobey Maguire. He must be in his 40s or 50s. Can fight Kraven, and I was like, that is genius, because I've been meaning to watch The Last Spider-Man. I'm not against it. I just never watch movies. I should watch it. But anyways, the last one brought all three Spider-Mans back. What are the live action Spider-Mans. So you got Tobey Maguire, the guy who did the two Spider-Man movies in the middle, and then anyways, whoever the new Spider-Man is, has done the last three. So they had three Spider-Mans in there, and it's like now, and I was like, that's genius, because ne the next Venom movie, because Venom did pretty good, Venom 1 and 2 did pretty good, and 2 came out in the pandemic and still did good. So anyways, now they got three Spider-Mans. They can have like a multiverse where you have the villain be the star of the movie, and you can have a Spider-Man, and there's plenty of Spider-Mans to go around. And so I was just saying all this, this is a recap of the conversation I was having with my buddy. And then I said something that he didn't like. He didn't say it was racist, but he said it was mean. And then I'm gonna cuss here, so if you got kids in the car, turn it down. But I said something like, ah, fuck, then they're gonna have one with a black Spider-Man. And I think that's a pretty accurate depiction of my tone of voice, because that always, tone of voice matters. Anyways, and my buddy's like, man, you're sounding a little mean when you say it like that. And I agreed. I agreed, and I apologized, and I said that I should, I don't know, check my fucking whatever. I can't stop cussing now. Fuck, fuck, fuck. But so then the conversation turned a little bit to Miles Morales. So that's the Black Spider-Man. He had a movie, it was a cartoon, but it was for adults, called Into the Spider-Verse. And they're coming out with a sequel. It's two movies. They're coming out with two more movies, I guess. They've already made them, I think, or half made them. And so there's this, used to be a YouTuber till he got kicked off, that I used to watch. His name is Atheism is Unstoppable. And I got it into, I used to be on an atheism kick, I don't know, 10 years ago. So I used to watch his videos, and he made very good videos. You can't find him anymore because he got kicked off of YouTube. I guess all those things got deleted. I don't know. But he went from being atheism content creator, and then he started like talking about black crime. And so maybe he might have been a little bit of a gateway drug for me, because I was watching my nice, safe, lefty atheism stuff, and then maybe Trump got elected, and I didn't like Trump, and then this guy started talking constantly about black crime. But he had kind of a catchphrase. We had a number of them, actually, but one of them was "fuck whites." So he'd be narrating some video. He'd always put a bunch of like hot chicks, like working out or dancing, in the background while he'd talk about like some latest horrible crime or something, or the statistics in, a year, or whatever he would do. Anyways, he'd be telling a story. He'd be like, yeah, and then this happened, and then that happened, and the reason why was fuck whites. But so I was telling my buddy that, Miles Morales, the Black Spider-Man, he's not just, we need to uplift black people by making a black Spider-Man. I think he's also, he's a fuck whites. And so Miles Morales, I forget what comic he first appears in, but I think he's the first. He's the first race swapped comic character, basically. And so, like, his first appearance, the comic, the physical comic, if you own that in your hand in a perfect condition, it's worth thousands of dollars. And I mean, it's older than other race swapped characters, but it's not that old. It might be from like 2007 or something. And like, 10 years ago, you used to be able to get that thing for probably $45, and now it's probably $4,500. But Miles Morales, does that sound like kind of a funny name for a black Spider-Man? I mean, it does to me. And I guess I should say he comes from an alternate universe, I think, than the normal Spider-Man. That's why his movie's called Into the Spider-Verse. It's like a multiverse. But his story, I didn't read the comics, is that his dad is black and his mom is Puerto Rican. So I think, the writer, who who created him when originally was like, we're going to uplift black people. We're going to uplift Puerto Ricans. We're going to make a black Puerto Rican Spider-Man. And that's fine. You know, he wasn't attacking anyone when that guy did it. But I don't know, since then, basically you don't hear about the Puerto Rican side of him. You know, the only Hispanic thing about him basically is his last name is Morales, which I don't know why he got his mom's name, but anyways, I feel like instead of trying to uplift blacks and Puerto Ricans, they've taken the Spider-Man character and they just made him black. And I think the reason for that is fuck whites. I mean, basically, you know, you're not making up for George Floyd's murder if you're muddying the waters with Puerto Ricans. Let's just keep going on this. So I watch YouTube channels where they complain about, I don't know, Disney being woke, stuff like that. If you're looking for a good one, Nerdrotic, he's good. And they all kind of say the same thing, and it's going to sound good to you if you hear it. And that is like, you know, hey, instead of race swapping Superman, why don't you just create your own new black character? And then he can be in the comics and he can be in a movie. And that sounds good. It sounds reasonable. It's kind of political, you know, if you're not politically correct, but you want to say the thing that is politically correct amongst the non-politically correct, it works for that. I guess there are circles of political correctness or Venn diagrams or something. And so, anyways, if you're not politically correct, that's the PC thing to say. And I probably said it myself too, but it doesn't work. Like I say, you know, the Spider-Man villains, almost all of them came out in like a 2-year period or less, you know, like a 12-month period or something in the early 60s. And so, you know, saying, hey, create your own super wonderful indigenous superheroes today is kind of like saying, hey, why don't you be as productive as Stan Lee and Jack Kirby were in 1962. And like those two guys were never as productive ever again either. In fact, in the history of comic books, like that was it. That was the time. It was an amazing time. They were creating, you know, all the top heroes of Fantastic Four, they were creating Iron Man, Thor, etc. They're creating all the heroes and all the villains, and they did it all in probably about a 2-year period. And you can't just do that, you know, like snap your fingers and do that again. I should mention, so Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, I believe, well, Stan Lee was definitely Jewish. I think Kirby was Jewish. For whatever reason, the guys who created Superman, almost all the people back in, they lived in New York, I think in like the poor part, or what used to be a poor part of New York, in the late 1930s and early 1940s, and they got into the comic book industry, and they were all Jewish, and they created every famous thing you ever damn heard of. And as I've said before, I love Jewish people. I mean, look at that. If America didn't have Jewish people, we wouldn't have Superman and Spider-Man. We wouldn't. I don't know what the hell we'd have. We'd have a bunch of much worse stuff. We'd have to be using heroes from like Greek mythology with Zeus and Hercules or something. I mean, that's what comic books are. Superheroes. They're just a new version, not tied to religion, of the old Greek myths or myths in general. But anyways, all the like famous, almost all the famous black superheroes, they've already been, whatever, given their, they've already gotten the green light for their movies and TV shows. Like Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created Black Panther probably in about 66. And he was the first, and his movie was enormously successful. I think it's a top 5 movie of all time, although I think Avatar 2 is going to push it out of the top 5. It'll make it number 6. And then, you know, over at DC, I think their first big black superhero was a guy named Black Lightning. It's kind of an interesting story. I think they got a black writer and a black comic book artist, which is, you know, I think this is in the 70s or early 80s, which there weren't none. They're like, hey, we finally have a black writer on staff and a black comic artist on staff. And they're like, hey, why don't you guys get together and create a character named Black Lightning? And I guess that, you know, that's kind of tokenization. They didn't call him Lightning. They called him Black Lightning. Anyways, that guy got a TV show on WB. I think it lasted 3 years. So whatever actor got to play him was lucky. And then there's Cyborg. I would say for DC, the most famous black character they got is Cyborg. He's a hero from the Teen Titans. He's been in the movies. And then the actor famously called out, I don't know, called Joss Whedon racist? I don't know. Anyways, he got in the fight with the company, and now Cyborg, I think, you know, they would have gone farther with Cyborg. I forget, you know, it was some black guy, never heard of him. He got to play Cyborg. He looked good. I didn't watch the movie. And then he got in a giant feud with, I think, the whole company and the directors and the producers and the blah, 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 maybe calling them all racist or something. And anyway, so, you know, maybe we were going to get a whole bunch of Cyborg movies, but not anymore. They had to hit pause on that. So DC had to hit pause on that. And then, I mean, whatever, this is all just standard news, but and then of all things, the guy who played Black Panther died from cancer, I think. And they had like a Batwoman TV show where, I don't know, for probably not originally, but anyways, at some point in the comics, Batwoman became a lesbian. So they had a lesbian white woman as Batwoman. And then that lady quit for some reason after 1 year. I mean, hey, would you like millions of dollars? Yes. Would you like millions of dollars next year? No. But in any case, the lady quit, and then they're like, well, hey, you know, this is WB. WB shows that no one ever watched. But so anyway, they brought in a black lesbian woman for Batwoman. Again, this is, well, that one's race swapping, but not the Black Lightning one. There's a Static Shock, is another black character from DC. I think he got a TV show, and I think Static Shock's power is shooting lightning bolts just like Black Lightning. But he was from the comics, you know, at least 10, 20 years earlier. And then kind of here was the one that's, you know, after Trump was elected, you know, when people got woke, there was a character, I think the superhero's name was Chloe. You know, it was like Zoe or Chloe. And I actually read a little bit of the comic book, and it was pretty good. Or I watched a YouTube video of someone reading a comic book, which is a thing. But I don't know if she was gay. I think she was gay. But anyways, it was a black woman superhero, possibly a lesbian, and she was a new creation. So, you know, it was like, there you go. In 2019, whenever she came from, they finally did the thing. Instead of race swapping and gender swapping and blah, 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 someone was like, okay, we're going to create one from scratch. And then, you know, now people can't complain or whatever. I mean, I don't think they care about people's complaints. But it answered the thing. It's like, well, why don't you just create some good black superheroes? And obviously no one is asking, why don't you create some good Asian ones? Why don't you create some good, you know, Hispanic ones? No one gives a shit about those. Because fuck whites. But anyways, that girl, Chloe, I think is her name, she got a TV show like stat. And I believe after 1 year, which is, you know, this is last year. Last year, the WB, I think, shut down all of its TV shows. So, whatever. Her ratings were terrible. The ratings for all those WB shows were absolutely terrible. And she was kind of the last one that they brought about. And then all of it got canceled. And we're still waiting to see if, like, woke stuff doing terrible with the audience is going to make TV shows and movies change, or if they're just going to keep going losing money, we don't know. But so everything I've been saying in this podcast, it was the reason why I decided to talk about it was because I had a thought, and I sent an email to my buddy about this thought. And so comic books are not creating the mythological heroes of today anymore. It's video games. And so if you make a video game today, then you can take today's politics and throw it into your game. You can make all the black lesbians you want, and then I guess if the game is successful, then in the future movie or whatever, TV shows, you know, it won't be race swapped. It will be an original black lesbian. Or as that guy in Scarface said, lesbian. And like the most recent famous video game adaptation is The Last of Us. It's HBO's new show, you know, trying to be like the new Game of Thrones. And I don't play video games, and I haven't watched the show either. But I think it's a 2013 video game that was incredibly successful. The game was like very cinematic. It was kind of it wasn't an open world, if you know what that is, where you can do whatever the hell you want. It was a story that you went through, kind of like a movie. So maybe it lends itself better to a TV show. Although I think they're changing the hell out of it anyways. They always do that. But I didn't know much about that game until maybe 2 years ago they came out with the sequel game, The Last of Us 2. And so the anti-woke YouTube critics talked about that a bunch because I think one of the major characters is a trans something-something. Let's see if I can remember. I think it's a trans man, and there's a scene in the game where she gets whatever, doggy styled, topless, and it's like it's in the game. And I think it has frontal, not full frontal, but just top, not bottom surgery, frontal nudity. And I don't know if it has like mastectomy scars on her chest or not. Anywho, this is a theory that I'm just making up right now. Never heard anyone, there's no corroboration. But I think maybe the reason why HBO chose The Last of Us, yes, it's a famous cinematic game that everyone loved. Also, the sequel created a lot of controversy by having a trans person. And so I think the trans person part is why HBO chose it. And I think they're adding, you know, when they're changing it, let's put it this way. They're not taking queer characters out of the game, you know, the queer characters from the game out of the TV show. They're adding them. So, you know, they wanted something that could be real queer. Okay, I didn't even want to talk about that game. But getting closer to the point is there's a new Super Mario Brothers, or maybe, yeah, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers movie coming out. And so I haven't played games in decades, but when I was a kid, I played Super Mario Brothers. I played it at the pizza parlor. That's right. This is going to be a long episode. Let me tell you some stories. So when I was a kid, I guess in ninth grade, I had to take the bus home from high school, but one day a week, my mom, she had to go to town. Let's say it's a Wednesday. Like every Wednesday, she had to go to town for some reason. And so on Wednesday, I could, instead of taking the bus home, you know, the mini mile drive to get back to my house, I could just walk into town and hang out in town for like an hour or something. And then my mom would pick me up after whatever it was she was doing. And so I used to go to the pizza parlor and play Super Mario Brothers, like the actual stand-up game, like the old school one. And I don't remember, but my allowance, like I got a weekly allowance, and it was, I don't know, I think it was like $3.50 or something. At one time in my life, when I was younger than that, and the allowance was lower, like maybe $2 or something, I used to buy comic books. But anyways, I got like $3.50, and that's all the money I had in the world. And I used to go to the pizza parlor and just one quarter, one play, and Super Mario Brothers, first off, possibly the greatest game ever, you know, at least for its time and whatever, greatest game ever. And I could play it for a long time. You know, I could play it for 10 minutes. If I played some other game, I'd be dead in 1 minute, and then all my money would be gone. But the amount of money I had allowed me to play Super Mario Brothers over and over. And I think you could continue. Like, if you remember, Super Mario Brothers has maybe 7 worlds. And so I think I always died on the third world. And so I did not put in a quarter and continue at the third world, because then I would be dead in a minute. If I got, you know, when I got to the third world and died, I would just wait for the screen to change and start over at the beginning. Okay, that's boring. I'm getting my years mixed up. I think that was 7th grade, middle school. Because in 9th grade, My buddy got a Nintendo, the first Nintendo you could, you know, when they first came out. And so I went over to my buddy's house one time and I was like, oh my God, we have Super Mario Brothers at home. We can play it over and over. There's no quarters, blah, blah. And my buddy's stepdad, he was kind of a, well, whatever. I could tell you some very inappropriate stories. Not sexual, but, well, you'll get an idea. You'll get an idea of this guy from this story. But me and my buddy are playing his brand new Nintendo. I never seen anything like it in my life to have a video game that looked like the arcade at home. And so we're trying to save the princess. That's what you do at the end of the game. And we're getting pretty far. Like, I mean, I never seen any, you know, I never seen level four, never seen five, six. Wow, this is amazing. So I'm just sitting there playing the game. We're taking turns. And anyways, his stepdad hands me a little glass of water. And I'm like so into this game, I don't even think about it. You know, why would someone hand you a little glass of water? That's kind of weird, you might think, but I who care who cares? Like, I am trying to save the princess. It is on. And so I just take that little glass of water and I drink it all down. And then I can't breathe. And I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating, but you know, my memory is that like I couldn't take a breath for like almost a minute. And it was kind of scary. And then the upshot is what he had given me was, it was probably like one shot, maybe, you know, 1 to 3 ounces, I don't remember how much, of Everclear, which is just, you know, stronger than whiskey, pure alcohol. And it was just kind of that guy's idea of a joke to play on a ninth grader. But anyways, go watch the movie trailer for the new Super Mario Brothers movie that's coming out. Like, it looks phenomenal. I wasn't hankering for a new one or a movie adaptation of it, but just the cartoon graphics or whatever, they look so great. The only video game adaptation I'm looking forward to, and it actually happens to be one of the ones that I played. But now let's go back to the woke anti-woke ramifications of this. So you can take newer video games, and I guess you don't have to completely and utterly change the story to add trans people or something. But unfortunately, you know, once again, like a lot of the classic, you know, so all the best comic characters came out in the early to mid 60s, and then all the best video games, I don't know about, I'm exaggerating now, but a lot of them came out in like the 80s. And then here's the motherfucker of it all, is that a lot of the best video games were created by Japanese people, and they put white people as the main characters, or even all the characters. And so I went down a rabbit hole on that one time, looking at internet forums and people arguing about it. You know, are video game char- you know, are Japanese video game characters white? Like, you know, when you make your American movie, can Mario be played by a Chinese person, even though he's Japanese, but America doesn't give a shit about the difference between Chinese and Japanese? Well, the answer is he's white. And you're like, well, okay, Mario's white. I mean, his name is Mario. He's Italian. But the way you know that video game characters are white, because, you know, if you think, you know, so Mario comes from Donkey Kong. I think it was supposed to be called King Kong. I forget why they had a legal reason to change it to Donkey Kong. Plus, something was lost in translation to get Donkey in there. But you can go back to the old games, you know, Metroid, whatever. They got their 16-bit graphics, and it's hard to see. You know, it's hard to tell what a person looks like. You know, it's like a stick figure. You know, what race is a stick figure? It's hard to say. But as we've moved into the future and games have gotten better graphics, they're just getting more and more white, you know, like. I mean, basically, as Mario and Luigi, or I don't know who. I can't think of anyone who doesn't have a name that's frickin' obviously Italian. I mean, Snake from Metal Gear. I just whatever. I don't play video games, so I can't think of names. But anyways, as video games have been getting more and more photorealistic, the ones made in Japan are just getting more and more obviously white people. And maybe this is more institutional structures of systemic disparate racism. But But anyways, we're gonna have to start race swapping that shit too. It's gonna be, you know, Japan made a video game. The star was white, and we're gonna have to race and gender bend and swap all that stuff too. Or maybe HBO's The Last of Us TV show shows you the future. It's a 2013 game that wasn't super queer, but then the sequel from 2020 or whatever was queer, and now you can make a TV show of the 2013 game, and you can make it super queer because the sequel was queer. So, you know, now you can go back 10 years. I don't know. I guess the question is, you know, how far do you have to go back into the past to find the member berries about the nostalgia that people love of the things that they grew up with, and then how can you throw a bunch of woke horseshit into it? Something to keep an eye on. All right, I'm talking too long. Twitter handle @AntiWokePodcast, and thanks for listening.